From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20. Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena. Text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Prasthana.
Prasthana.
Abhimukha.
Abhimukha.
Api,
api,
enam,
enam,
anugraha,
anugraha,
vilambita,
vilambita,
pashyan,
pashyan,
padma,
padma,
palasha,
palasha,
aksha,
aksha,
na,
na,
Prataste,
Prataste,
Surit,
Surit,
Satam,
Satam,
Prasthana Bhimukha Pienam,
Prasthana Bhimukha Pienam,
Anugraha Vilambita,
Anugraha Vilambita,
Pashyan Padma Palashaksho,
Pashyan Padma Palashaksho,
Na prataste surit satam.
Na prataste surit satam.
Prasthana.
Prasthana.
To leave. Abhimukha.
Abhimukha.
Ready.
Ready.
Api.
Api.
Although.
Although.
Enam.
Enam.
Him. Pritu. Anugraha.
Anugraha.
By kindness. Vilambitaha.
Vilambitaha.
Detained.
Detained.
Pashyan.
Pashyan.
Seeing.
Seeing.
Padma Palasha Aksha.
Padma Palasha Aksha.
The Lord,
the Lord,
whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower. Na, not. Prataste,
departed.
Departed.
Surit,
the well-wisher.
Well-wisher.
Satam,
Satam.
Of the devotees. Translation. The Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained. Because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Please repeat. The Lord was just about to leave.
The Lord was just about to leave.
But because he was so greatly inclined,
because he was so greatly inclined
toward the behavior of King Prithu,
toward the behavior of King Prithu,
he did not depart.
Seeing the behavior of Maharaj
Prithu
with his lotus eyes,
he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Here the words Surat Satam are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always very inclined toward his devotee and is always thinking of the devotee's well-being. This is not partiality. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is equal to everyone. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. But to one who particularly engages in his service, he is very much inclined. In another place, the Lord says that a devotee is always exists in his heart, and he also exists always in the heart of the devotee. The special inclination of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pure devotee is not unnatural, nor is it partiality. For example, sometimes a father has several children, but he has special affection for one child who is very much inclined toward him. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satyata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Those who constantly engage in the devotional service of the Lord in love and affection are directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sitting as the Super Soul in everyone's heart. The Lord is not far away from the devotee. He is always in everyone's heart, but only the devotee can realize the Lord's presence. And thus he is directly connected, and he takes instruction from the Lord at every moment. Therefore, there is no chance of a devotee's being in error, nor is there any partiality on the part of the Lord for his pure devotees. Translation again. Just as the Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. So this verse describes the Lord's kindness, especially to his devotees. The Lord is kind to everyone. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ego yo vidudati kaman. The Lord provides the necessities of life for all the living entities. Were it not for the Lord's mercy, we could not survive for 1 minute. He provides the earth that we walk on and that produces foodstuffs. He provides the water that we drink and that nourishes the food grains. He provides the sunlight that makes the plants grow and gives us light and warmth. He provides the air that we breathe. He provides everything that we need to to exist. And thus he is kind to everyone. He gives his mercy to everyone without discrimination. He is like a rain cloud that showers water down upon the earth, not considering whether it falls on fertile soil or rocks or on bodies of water, but it showers down its rain equally everywhere. So, in the same way, the Lord is kind and merciful to all living entities. But, as stated in this verse, Surit Satam, he is especially the well-wisher and friend of his devotees. We find the same combination of words, Surit Satam, in the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantastohi Abhadrani Hidu Noti Surit Satam. Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Hearing discussions of Krishna, Krishna Katha, as we are doing now, is itself a pious activity. Or by hearing and discussing about Krishna, one becomes pious. And the Lord, who is situated within the heart as the well-wishing friend of the truthful devotee, cleanses desires for material enjoyment from within the heart. Any sincere practitioner of bhakti yoga will perceive at some stage that he has many dirty things within the heart. What are these dirty things? The first dirt is the misconception that I am the body, the misidentification of the self with the body. And from that first misconception, so many other illusions follow. That I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the proprietor. This is the dirt that has accumulated within the heart. And so we have to clean the heart. Cheto Darpana Marjana, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the dust is cleansed from the mirror of the mind. But on our own, we are not capable of removing the dirt. Again, any sincere practitioner would have realized that by our own efforts, we cannot take out the dirt. There's too much dirt. The dirt is too deeply entrenched, and we are too weak. So we need help. And who will help us? The Supreme Lord, who is the well-wishing
friends of the truthful devotee, Surit Sitam. What is the meaning of truthful devotee, as Srila Prabhupada translates Surit? Truthful means that the devotee is straightforward in his spiritual endeavors. In other words, there is no ulterior motive, there is no duplicity. If someone engages in activities of devotional service for some other purpose besides purifying his or her existence and making progress in Krishna consciousness and giving pleasure to the Lord, that person is not considered a truthful devotee. A truthful devotee is one who engages in spiritual activities wholly and solely for the purpose of purifying his or her existence, pleasing the Supreme Lord, and engaging in continuous service to the Lord. So the Lord is the well-wisher of the devotee from the very beginning of the devotee's spiritual practices up until and through the stage when the devotee is actually able to see the Lord directly, face to face, like Maharaj Kripa. The Lord is always our well-wishing friend, and we should have no doubt about it. We should never think that we are alone in our endeavors, or that our endeavors will fail because of our personal weakness. The Lord is there, and He will help us. Now, sometimes the Lord does not reciprocate immediately, or He does not appear to reciprocate. Just like when Krishna played his flute and invited the gopis to meet him in the Vrindavan forest. After some time, he left them. And when he again came back to them, they were very happy. Of course, they felt as if their life had come back into their bodies. But still, they harbored some transcendental anger or doubt that they gave up everything to come and serve the Lord, and then the Lord abandoned them. But Lord Krishna explained that He did not actually leave them. He was very close to them through their whole ordeal of searching for Him and crying out to Him. And thus, He was reciprocating with their heart's innermost desire, which was to love them and to increase their love for Him. And He gave the example that sometimes a poor man, after great difficulty, will achieve some wealth. But he may take the wealth for granted. after some time. But then, if he loses the wealth, he'll be thinking about it all the time. So the Lord does not want us to take him for granted. He doesn't want to take us to take devotional service for granted. He doesn't want us to take the association of devotees for granted. Because at any moment, we could be deprived of them. When I entered the samadhi, when the devotees were taking Srila Prabhupada on parikrama just a few minutes ago, I was looking at the deity of Srila Prabhupada, and I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada is so merciful. Otherwise, how could someone like me, or maybe others of us, be in Vrindavan? What qualification do we have to be in Vrindavan? We have no qualifications. It's only Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So in a sort of humble mood, I was appreciating Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And then when the kirtan and the samadhi ended, and it was time to come into the temple to give class, I couldn't get in. The door here was locked. It was only one way coming out. And that door was locked. That door was locked. And I took it for granted that I could just walk into the temple, and suddenly I was locked out. And I was really panicking. I have to give class. What if I can't get in the temple? But eventually, someone showed me the way and unlocked a gate that was supposed to be locked, and I got in. But it was a lesson. We can't take anything for granted. We're always dependent on the Lord's and the devotees' mercy. Mercy, by definition, means something that is bestowed upon us that we don't deserve. If we think, I'm a great devotee, I deserve this and that, and in fact, if I get less than what I think I deserve, I become upset and angry. That is not humility. Humility means that I feel I don't deserve anything, and whatever is given to me is mercy, because I don't deserve it. So, the Lord is merciful, especially to the humble devotee. Truthful devotee will be humble. Dainya, humility, is the basis of prema, or love. Without humility, we cannot attract the Lord's favor. So sometimes the Lord will remove himself from us or take away some facility for devotional service to humble us, so that we don't take him or the association of the devotees or the opportunities for service for granted. And that is his reciprocation with our heart's desire to develop love for him. So if it seems that the Lord has abandoned us, that we're struggling, we're not making any progress, or we might even feel that we're failing and falling, we should not imagine that the Lord is actually neglecting us, but He's watching us and waiting for us to turn toward Him in a humble, sincere mood. And there's a very beautiful verse by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which he says, "I am very weak and I am slipping at every step. May the saints grant me the stick of their mercy as my support." If we're weak, if we're slipping, especially if we're trying to climb up some slope and it's slippery and we're slipping and we're trying to go up but we're slipping back down, we need a stick to support us. And the stick that Kaviraj Goswami prays for in his path is the mercy of the devotees. So the Lord responds to his devotees. He reciprocates their love for him and their efforts to approach him. But this does not mean that he's partial, that he's playing favorites. And this is also a very important point. Because if we have a mundane conception of the Lord and think that he is he favors some over others, we might think he's favoring someone over us. And we might become resentful. Or we might be resigned to an unfortunate position, thinking the Lord doesn't like me. Of course, we wouldn't think in such gross terms, but I think that the Lord is not giving me his mercy. But the Lord is willing to give his mercy. He actually wants to give his mercy. But he also wants to see our efforts, and he wants to see us pass the tests that he gives us. In school, students have tests. There's some philosophies of education that say that you should just encourage the students to pursue the learning that they're naturally inclined to pursue, and you shouldn't hold the threat of examinations as an impetus to get them to learn. But studies have shown that the students who've gone through the system of learning without tests that don't learn as much or don't do as well on the tests as the students who are tested all along. So Krishna gives us tests, and the tests are meant to help us to progress. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that the teacher is impartial. The teacher wants to impart knowledge to all of the students. But if one student is learning more slowly and is stuck on a particular point, the teacher will not give the student further instruction because first the student has to learn the lesson that he's on. Someone else may learn quickly, and the teacher will give him more knowledge. And when the student assimilates that knowledge, then the teacher will give her more knowledge. So the teacher is neutral. The teacher is impartial, but the teacher imparts lessons according to how much the student has already learned and how much the student is ready for. So it's the same idea as tests. The Lord tests us. Do we want Him or do we want something else? He may test us by offering us something material which is not favorable to Krishna consciousness, and it's a test. Will we go for that material thing at the expense of our Krishna consciousness, or will we forego it? Or sometimes in the course of service, we may encounter some difficult situation. So will we persevere in our service, or will we run away from our service because of the difficulties involved in the situation? So if we choose Krishna, it means that we have passed that test. And Srila Prabhupada says that when you pass a test, Krishna will not test you on the same thing. He'll give you a more advanced test. And the final test is the time of death. Are we going to remember Krishna at the time of death? And if we pass that test, then our life is successful. And we go back home, back to Godhead. Yesterday, we had a small program at the Bhaktivedanta Hospice, just nearby. And the Bhaktivedanta Hospice is meant to give facility to devotees who have terminal illnesses, who are in the process of leaving their bodies, and to support them medically and emotionally and spiritually. In other words, to help them remember Krishna at the time of death. And one devotee named Vishwarup Das, who is in charge of spiritual care, quoted something that was very nice, very encouraging. Although I haven't found it in the exact same words as he said in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where he said he found it. But anyway, it was very nice. And he said that Raman Reti is the best place for a devotee to leave his or her body because Krishna and Balaram are always frolicking in the sands of Raman Reti. And when they become aware that one of their devotees is in the process of leaving his or her body, they stop their play and they rush to that devotee's side to bring that devotee back to God. So that is Surit Sitam. That is the Lord's kindness to his devotee. And he is kind at every step, and he will be there to help us at every step. But his kindness and his mercy is open to everyone. And when the devotee is always eager to serve the Lord with love, the Lord within the heart gives instruction to the devotee. And therefore, whatever the devotee does is always perfect by the grace of the Lord. Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, after he had been prosecuting the Krishna consciousness movement for many years, maybe towards the end, he asked him, "Do you have any regrets about the way you propagated the Krishna consciousness movement? Do you wish that you could have done something differently? Or if you were to do it again, would you do anything differently?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "No, I would do everything exactly the same." Because he was constantly in touch with Krishna within the heart. Krishna within the heart was guiding him. Many years ago, during Srila Prabhupada's physical presence, there was a lady staying in the Vrindavan guest house of the Krishna Balaram Mandir who was going around telling devotees that Krishna had spoken to her. So the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada said, "Yes, it is possible. Krishna can speak to the devotee. But there's a qualification." And then he quoted the verse, "Kesham satatiyuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam." That he will speak to a devotee who is constantly engaged in service to Krishna with love. So he asked, "Is that the case with the life member lady staying in the guest house?" Well, if that's not the case, then we cannot believe that Krishna is speaking to her. So there's a reciprocation. And that reciprocation is the basis of the personal philosophy. Srila Prabhupada said there are only two things that keep his devotees from being pure devotees. One is sense gratification, and the other is mental speculation. So we all have that tendency towards impersonalism. Every day when I recite Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschat Vedeshatari, I pray to him to deliver me. He came to deliver the Western countries from impersonalism and voidism. I pray to him to deliver me from that, because that impersonal tendency is so deep rooted. And because of the impersonal tendency, we overlook or miss the personal reciprocation between the Lord and the devotees. It's actually a type of atheism. Impersonalism and atheism is a type of atheism. We think the deity is stone. We think the guru, Srila Prabhupada, is an ordinary human being. We identify with the devotees we identify the devotees as belonging to a particular caste or community. We take the Ganges or Jamuna's ordinary water. Like this, we have so many impersonal atheistic tendencies. But studying and understanding and appreciating the reciprocal relationship between the Lord and the devotee is possible only when we're free from those impersonal tendencies. Or contemplating this subject and discussing this subject will help free us from those impersonal tendencies. And then we realize that God is a person. As one newspaper article quoted Srila Prabhupada, when he first came to New York City and chanted under the tree in Tompkins Square Park, the newspaper featured a photo of Srila Prabhupada under the tree and announced that we thought that God was dead. But Swami Bhaktivedanta has come to tell us that God is alive and we can live with Him. So that is the significance of some of these verses. Prabhupada alludes to one in the ninth canto, Sadhava Hridayam Mayam Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. The Lord says that I am in the heart of my devotee and the devotee is in my heart. My devotee does not know anything but me and I do not know anyone but my devotee. That is the reciprocation. The devotee lives in the Lord and the Lord lives in the devotee. It means they're alive. God is alive and we can live with Him. And that was Srila Prabhupada's main mission, to convince us that God is alive and we can live with Him. And we can experience the Lord's reciprocation. Now, since we are in Vrindavan, or I should say especially because we're in Vrindavan, maybe, I thought of a verse from the Gopis' Songs of Separation to Krishna, the Gopi Gita, in which the Gopis sing, Nakalo Gopika Nandana Bhavan Akila Dehinam Antarat Madrid. The translation of the verse is, they're singing out to Lord Krishna, that you are not the son of Mother Yashoda, but you are the indwelling super soul. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is so intelligent and so, his realizations are so sublime. He has given two explanations for each verse in the Gopi Gita. One explanation is in Dakshina Bhav, sort of favorable to Krishna. And the other explanation is in Vamya Bhav, or contrary to Krishna. So the direct translation sounds favorable. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He's not the son of Mother Yashoda. But he's actually the super soul, the indwelling witness of all activities within the heart. And that is true. But the gopis, in their separation, those in the Vanyabhava, left wing mood, they are, in a transcendental way, criticizing Krishna for his pleasure. Everything that everyone in Vrindavan does is for Krishna's pleasure. So the contrary mood of some of the gopis is also on the platform of pure love, and it gives Krishna pleasure. Yeah, she takes more pleasure in that mood than in the compliant mood of Dakshina Bhavas. So what they are saying is that no ordinary person can tolerate the distress of someone who's dear to them. And that is true of demigods, of human beings, of animals, and of birds. They cannot tolerate the suffering of someone near and dear to them. But we are suffering intensely in your separation. But you are not bothered in the least. You are very happy. You're like the super soul in the heart. The super soul in the heart is neutral to all living entities. They could be a worm in stool. They could be a dog dying in the street. But you sit happily as the super soul in the heart, and you just let them suffer. And so you're not the son of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda's heart is so soft, she cannot tolerate the least suffering in any devotee. So how could you be her son? She has such a soft heart. You don't have any of her good qualities. So you are not the son of Mother Yashoda. You're the indwelling super soul who remains happy no matter how the living entity is suffering. So this is also part of the intimate reciprocation of love between the Lord and his devotees on the highest platform of pure love. Of course, we cannot imitate such love. That would be disastrous for us. But it's beneficial for us to hear about the loving exchanges of Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. In fact, that same word, anugraha, comes in that section of the 10th canto. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Krishna says that out of kindness for my devotees, I appear in a human-like form to attract them to my activities and awaken in them a desire to serve me. So that is why Krishna comes to Vrindavan, anugrahaya bhaktanam, out of kindness and mercy to his devotees, so that we can hear of his activities and become attracted to his service. So we should take advantage of the Lord's mercy and kindness, and we are already doing so, and that's why we're here in Vrindavan, during the most auspicious month of Kartik, and now during those five special days at the end of Kartik called Bhishma Panchaka. And it said that whatever one performs in the during the Bhishma Panchaka, one gets the credit as if he had performed them throughout the whole month. So to me, this indicates how eager the Lord is to give his mercy. And maybe even more so the compassionate side of the Lord, Srimati Radharani. Kartik is the month of Radharani. She is Urjeshwari, the queen of the month of Urja, Urja Vrat. So already any service rendered in Vrindavan is multiplied 1,000 times. And then service rendered during Kartik is multiplied still further. And then the service rendered during the last 5 days is multiplied still further. So she's just looking for some excuse to give us mercy. So we should try our best. And I might add here that serving the devotee is more pleasing to Krishna than trying to serve Krishna directly. In fact, in that verse, those series of verses in the ninth canto, when Srila Prabhupada discusses his devotees, Krishna says that, you know, they are in my heart and I am in their heart. And, they do not know anything but me, and I do not know anyone but them. He tells Durvasa Muni, who had offended a Vaishnava, that not only are my devotees dear to me, but the devotees of my devotees are also dear. So we cannot perhaps consider ourselves to be devotees. We're not really devotees. We're trying to become devotees. But if we are the devotee of a devotee of Srila Prabhupada, servant of the acharyas in the line, and ultimately, not devotee of Radharani, but prayerful seekers of her mercy, then we become dear to Krishna. As Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, those who claim to be my devotees, they are not my devotees. But those who are devotees of my devotees, they are the real devotees. And that was also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement. That's how he identified himself. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasamidasa. He's the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopi damsels of Raja. So this is our hope. And this Krishna's mercy, yes, it's there, but it follows the mercy of the devotee. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. By the mercy of the spiritual master, by the mercy of the devotee, one gets the mercy of Krishna. And yasya prasada nagati kutopi. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, without the mercy of the devotee, one has no position. Krishna will not recognize us unless we are the servant of his devotee. So that is also Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that he has accepted us as his servants, 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 servants. And the more we become the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the more we can experience the sweet taste of Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and all the parampara, and ultimately Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radha Shamsi. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes? Is there a microphone?
You mentioned that Krishna recognizes truthful devotees. We are truthful and don't have ulterior motives if Krishna cleanses our heart. But if conditions there in the heart, then how would a person, is it possible for a person to have a pure motive?
Yes, that is a good question. In the beginning, we have anarthas, unwanted weeds, and one of the weeds is kutinati, which is diplomatic behavior or fault finding. So yes, we come, we do have anarthas, and even in the course of devotional service, weeds may sprout up. So what do we do? Well, we should be introspective. A sincere devotee is always introspective. He's checking his motives. Am I doing this really to please Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna? Or am I doing it to get something material for myself? He'll always be considering his behavior. I'm finding fault with devotees. Why? You know, what is the reason? Is it that I think that by putting others down, I will be putting myself up? That by making them less, I'll become more? I mean, it's true that if someone's in a position of authority, he may have to correct his students. But he shouldn't have that false ego that I'm an instructor of Vaishnavas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says if one has that conception, abhiman, that, oh, I'm an instructor of Vaishnavas, so many Vaishnavas come to me and I instruct them. He said that is against the principle of Chinadati Sunichena. But if in the mood of humble service we have received some knowledge from our spiritual master, some insights by the grace of our spiritual master, in that humble mood of service to him and the Vaishnavas, we pass it on to try to help them in their efforts, and thinking they can go ahead of me. I'm lagging behind. They can go ahead of me. That's good. Let me help them. Let them go ahead. Then we can. Then we can do that. And if we have grosser material desires, well, we can pray to be relieved of them. But grosser ones, I mean, we have Varnashram Dharma, a gradual process of advancement. So we can be honest about where we're at what and, you know, what position we're in, and what we need to progress further and enter the Varnashram system, and at the same time, you know, continue the primary process of chanting and hearing and remembering Krishna. And sometimes confessing, you know, admitting that one has a fault to others often goes a long way in overcoming it. So if you have some trusted friends, you say, I have this difficulty, I'm not able to overcome it, but I do want to overcome it, and you know, you can even ask them for advice to help you or some, and so that can do a lot. That can do a lot. Sometimes just by discussing a difficulty, one gets relief. I mean, not just psychological relief, but by being humble enough and open enough to admit one's weakness to Vaishnavas, superior Vaishnavas or friends, especially superior Vaishnavas, that helps. That in itself helps. Association of devotees is very important. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. You also mentioned that the Dham Yoga term. So that word is mentioned that when we do bhajan is Dham. So
How to get a touch of the Lord? Yes. There are two ingredients. Tesham satata yuktana. Satata means constantly engaged. So we should be constantly engaged. Priti purvakam, with love. Well, Preeti is the goal, but Ado Shraddha, everything begins with Shraddha. Shraddha is actually a preliminary stage of Preeti or Prema. Shraddha matures and it becomes Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhava, and then Prema. It's the same substance. It's bhakti, but it's just a more immature stage. Srila Prabhupada said that a green mango is a mango, and a ripe mango is also a mango. So one can be a pure devotee in an immature stage, like a green mango. And then as one's devotional service ripens, one becomes a sweet mango. So from the beginning, if that's one's intention, to serve Krishna constantly with love, Krishna within the heart will give you intelligence. Otherwise, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. From the very beginning, Krishna's hand is there. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. So that's already begun. The fact that you are here shows that Krishna within the heart has already given you good dictation.
Hare Krishna. How is it possible practically for a person to be devotee of the devotees, considering that there are so many devotees? This person practically serves everyone.
Well, what the Lord says in the ninth canto is the devotee of my devotee. So here we're talking about an advanced devotee. He should become a devotee of an advanced devotee. But a servant of all devotees. Do you understand the difference? Yeah. So one should find some devotees who are advanced, who are fully engaged in the service of the Lord with devotion, and become devoted to them. But as part of your service to them, you serve all devotees. And when you really advance Mahabhagavat, you see everyone as a devotee except yourself. But in our stage, we begin by finding a devotee and becoming his devotee or her devotee. The guru, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru. Otherwise, like you said, you can't serve everyone. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes chided his disciples that everyone's servant means nobody's servant. You know, it's like, I'm just making this up, but the guru sends you to the market to get some milk so that he can offer it to his deities. And on the way you meet some devotee who's sort of like looking at your milk. And you think, well, maybe he or she wants some milk. You ask, would you like this milk? Yeah. And you give them the milk. You return to the guru empty-handed. So I think that's what Prabhupada meant, that everyone's servant is nobody's servant. There'll be so many conflicting demands. So this is part of the process. We serve the root. And by watering the root, the water is distributed to, you know, through the trunk to all the branches, twigs, leaves, buds. That's a very important point. Once one disciple said to Srila Prabhupada, when I chant the holy name, should I think of the welfare of every living entity? And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, you can think of every living entity? You think of Lord Chaitanya and he will think of every living entity. So, yeah. Krishna, Parampara, Guru. For us, that's the line for watering the root. And from there, it will be distributed. All right, I was going to... Kartik. I guess it's all right.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You see, sometimes we observe that some devotees may exhibit good behavior in the first maybe 10, 15, 20 years of their Krishna consciousness. And then after that, do something that is disappointing. And sometimes you get devotees in the beginning that they laugh and not so well behaved. And in the end, they turn out to be good devotees. So, how can we understand what is good and who is good?
We should always be humble, because the devotee is eternal, the Lord is eternal, the process of devotional service is eternal. And there is no end. You're saying they turn out bad at the end, but there is no end. One could say of Ajamil, you know the story of Ajamil. He began good, but then he became bad. But in the end, he became good. So it's very difficult, it's difficult, it's dangerous to judge a devotee. We should wish every devotee well. We should not be proud, thinking that we're better than some devotee. Because first of all, we don't know internally what is the devotee's consciousness. And second of all, we don't know where we're going to be tomorrow or where the other devotee is going to be tomorrow. So the best thing is to always be humble and look for the good in others. If someone seems to have been better earlier, then you can focus on the devotee's activities earlier and think that, you know, Krishna, something is going on between Krishna and the devotee, but, you know, in the end, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashiti. Krishna declares that my devotee will never be vanquished. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada said that that concern, like, well, they're good now, but they may become bad later. He said that's not a very good idea. He said it's like someone brings you a plate of wonderful Mahaprasad. And you think, well, you know, if I leave this for 3 days, it may go bad. Well, that's not the idea. Yeah, if you leave it for 3 days, it may go bad. But it's not bad now. So why are you thinking that in 3 days it will go bad? Except to be humble, that others began well and they had difficulty later, so I should be careful that I don't have. In that way, in a humble mood of learning from them, it's all right. But otherwise, there's sort of envy. Oh, he's doing well now, but let's see in the future. In the end, I may turn out to be the best one. We should avoid that. One Mataji there?
So sometimes I find some devotee or even myself find a difficulty while there's any service, while we're struggling between service and chanting. And you just mentioned in the class that service for devotees is more pleasing to Krishna than service directly to Krishna. So in some sense that can be said that service to devotee is more important than chanting.
Well, as disciples, we are obliged to chant 16 rounds every day. And that's part of our duty to our spiritual master. And that's the basis of our service. When we chant, we're praying to the Lord and the Lord's energy to engage us in service. So we should find at least 2 hours to chant our 16 rounds, preferably in the morning. The temple president in Los Angeles, Sovas Prabhu, is very busy with service. But he gets up every morning by 2 o'clock and he chants all 16 rounds before Mangal Arati. Because being the temple president, anything could come up at any time. Like right after Mangal Arati, someone could come to him with a problem and he'll have to deal with it. And then he'll have difficulty with his rounds during the rest of the day. So that's one approach, very good approach if you can do it. But there can be emergencies. There can be emergencies. Like in Juhu, I don't know if you know the history, but anyway, we had a small temple that was attacked by the police and the municipality. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada said that when the temple is attacked, you shouldn't say, oh, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I can't. No, you should set aside your beads and rise to the occasion to meet the challenge. But in general, we should be regulated. We should chant our 16 rounds. But in an emergency, it could happen that we don't. But then we should make up the rounds. We should keep track of how many we didn't chant and then make them up.
Thank you. I have one more question. We don't know that we are the servant of a servant, we try to serve devotees, but how about we find that while we serve a devotee, we are serving devotee and growing their ego as well, so their false ego. So what should we do?
Well, maybe you should find another devotee to serve that won't perplex your mind with such complications. It so much depends on who the devotee is, what your relationship with the devotee is, what the circumstances are. Sometimes we give mercy. We don't know what the result will be. We just hope for the best. Someone wants second initiation. Now, we ask, why do you want second initiation? And of course, they'll give good reasons. But another reason could be they want the prestige of being a Brahmin. If they're a man, they want the prestige of having a Brahmin kid. So, and then, they want the respect that come to Brahmins, and depending on the culture, there may be other benefits that Brahmins get, like good prasad. Brahmins are even Krishna's friend Madhu Mangal. He liked his madhus. He was happy. So, all right. So now, what do I do? Do I not give second initiation because the candidate has mixed motives? So I have to calculate. We don't know what will the person do with that mercy. So we have to calculate. Sometimes we take a risk. Okay, we'll give that mercy. Maybe the person will get more puffed up, but maybe the person will become purified by worshiping the deity. So sometimes we can't predict. And some mercy means they don't deserve it. And in a way, because they don't deserve it, in a way it means taking a risk. Because they're not really qualified, so you don't know how they'll use it. So I can't really say in a particular case, but I would say for your personal mood of service, it's better to serve someone where you don't have that doubt. So I don't know if you can clarify it, maybe clarify it with others who know the person. Do you think that person's going to, for false egos, are going to become inflated by my serving the person? You can consult. But yeah, maybe it's, because we want to serve with a favorable mood, with full heart, so some way without creating offense. Yes, Shyam Sakhi.
My question is that although we know, we understand the principle of serving, becoming the servant of the servant, but is it possible sometimes to lose the goal when we're serving the servant, to become so attached to that devotee or whoever that person may be, and lose the focus of Krishna and Radharani?
Well, we again, it depends on what the nature of the service is. But however you serve a devotee, that service will be transformed into service to Krishna by the devotee. It's like in Juhu, like when I returned to Juhu and I saw Radharasa Bihari and I felt some reciprocation, like I really dedicated my life to serving them and they were reciprocating. But in my mind at the time, I wasn't thinking I was dedicating my life to serving them. I thought I was dedicating my life to serving Srila Prabhupada. And he was dedicating his life to serving them. So by serving Srila Prabhupada, I was serving them. But of course it's, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly right, but our god sister Urmila Devi Dasi, her father came to visit her and her husband and their child, I believe, at the Chicago temple. And her father met Srila Prabhupada and said to Srila Prabhupada that, frankly speaking, I've really come to see my daughter and her husband and child. I haven't really come for Krishna. So is that wrong that I'm coming for this reason? And Srila Prabhupada replied to the effect that you love your daughter and she loves Krishna. So it's not different. But that said, we should try to remember Krishna also. As Krishna instructs Arjuna, you fight and remember me. But Krishna was directly there with Arjuna. He was his direct spiritual master. But, as part of the process of spiritual advancement or spiritual awakening, we'll see the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas more in relation to Krishna. And so we'll be more Krishna conscious. One devotee commented the other day that she, at a certain stage in her spiritual life, she took time out from her busy service, like to study Prabhupada's books. And she said that she was, she had become so busy serving Krishna that she didn't have time for Krishna. She was so busy serving Krishna that she was forgetting Krishna. So she wanted to take some time out to really immerse herself in Krishna, to spend time with Krishna, chanting the holy name, studying the scriptures. So we need a balance. We do need direct time in Krishna's association. Prabhupada built it into the daily schedule. If we follow the morning program, we have time with Krishna. Time with Krishna in arti, time with Krishna in japa, time with Krishna in Bhagavatam class. So the morning program, or the daily schedule that Prabhupada gave us, is perfect. It includes everything. But sometimes circumstantially, you know, I hear it more from younger parents, you know, they have to spend more time with their young children or do things in the morning, get their children ready for school, you know, get their husband ready for work. But then later in the day, they should, if they can't get up earlier. But yeah, we have to maintain that balance between direct association with Krishna through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and service to Krishna through the service of the spiritual master and the other devotees. And it's also service to the spiritual master to chant. One disciple was in a rickshaw accident and broke her arm or something. So she couldn't do her regular service. And she had a very, sort of close relationship with Srila Prabhupada, our god sister, Kaushalya. So she approached Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, because she used to be very active. She would shop, she would buy things for the deities, she would do deity worship, she would sing bhajan, she would preach. She was a very dynamic devotee. So she couldn't do that after her accident. So she said, Srila Prabhupada, I need some other service. So Prabhupada said, well, you can do the accounts. Oh, I hate accounts. And Prabhupada said, well, you can chant Hare Krishna. No, but I need some service. I need some service. You know, chanting Hare Krishna is the best service. So that's also service to the spiritual master. It's also following the instructions of the spiritual master to chant Hare Krishna. We are the Hare Krishna movement. We should chant Hare Krishna as much as possible. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.